supernatural lightning hit an indoor pulpit, splitting it in half, throwing the pastor 9 feet in the air, then miracles erupted. Next, on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm so excited because my guest was involved in a legitimate supernatural explosion from God. Most of you, your mind goes tilt, your religious mind goes tilt, and you think, oh, it's church. I may go see wrestling or psychic network. No, church is so far removed from the power of God, but God is about ready to demonstrate his reality to a lukewarm, pathetic race called humans. Now, Tommy Tenney, you were in Houston, Texas, minding your own business, speaking at a church. Tell me what happened.
We don't have enough time for me to tell you all the things that happened, Sid, but the short version is God showed up. And all of the other things that occurred are just like the wind ripples the waves on the pond. This was just the rippling of the waves.
You know, Tommy, most Christians would not know the difference whether God showed up or not.
They would have that day.
But they, why?
Well, first of all, I don't know if you've ever felt the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of situation.
Yeah, I have.
Well, it was the awesome presence of God so filled the room until you felt like you could hardly breathe. Felt like the air was liquid. It was incredible. And grown men were just weeping. The service was sort of out of control.
And now, there's a lot of people that get scared when they hear out of control. What do you mean by that?
Well, out of control in the way that it wasn't manipulated by man. These were not emotional responses that we were calling for. There wasn't pumped up singing or hyped up speaking. It was just the presence of God. Literally, when we walked in at 8:30 that morning, it's like you walked into it.
Why were these men weeping?
Well, men, women, children, everybody there. The presence of God so permeated the atmosphere until every time the glory of God shows up, it seems to bring with it fear. Perhaps in church tones, we may be more accustomed to people falling backward out of blessing than falling faceward out of fear. But in the Old Testament, in the dedication of Solomon's temple, the priests and the ministers couldn't minister. They were literally, in a colloquial way, wiped out. And I'm not talking about just feeling weak need. I'm talking about a sheer impossibility. When the presence of God demonstrated itself that morning, everybody makes a big deal about the pulpit splitting. We hardly noticed it. We were so preoccupied, would be the right word, with the manifest presence of God that the pulpit split, well, let's just get it out of the way. And it didn't dawn on us until some point after exactly how and what happened. And there were hundreds, if not thousands of people there. You know, between 800 to 1,000 is my guess. Nobody's ever even bothered to find out.
But tell me, for my benefit and for our viewers' benefit, this was a pulpit that, was it thick? What was it made out of?
The pulpit was this, we would call it acrylic. That's what I always called it, or plexiglass. That's really not the legitimate term. We've had The engineers check it out since then. It's basically a space-age lucite-type plastic that is, the engineers said you could basically drop it from a 10-story building and it may shatter, but not split. And
So there is no scientific explanation for what occurred?
No, sir. The manufacturer just said we don't accept that. And
what do you mean we don't accept that?
Well, they don't know what made it split. Their terms to us were, if I could quote it, and I may be off one figure or another, but it was built in such a way that it had a bend in it. And they said it would take 150,000 pounds per square inch to break it. And nobody touched it. The pastor was resting his hands lightly on it when all of this happened.
Now, explain exactly what happened. I know that you were preoccupied with God, but for those of us that are preoccupied with that pulpit, exactly what happened?
Sometimes when I talk about this, I get a little emotional, but...
Well, but why do you?
It's like I'll never forget that day. It has nothing to do with the pulpit, Sid.
It was a holy day in your life.
I'd been preaching for many years and thought I knew God.
Now, you come from several generations of preachers.
Yeah, three generations. We just buried my 96-year-old grandfather. And as far as successful in ministry, I was successful, preached in largest churches across America. But on that day when God showed up, the difference it made in my life is as much as the difference between before I was saved or after I was saved as before then and after then. His presence changed me. And really, from then until now, all I want to do is be in His presence.
Most people, they hear a word, in His presence, help. What does that really mean?
There is the omnipresence of God, which is the everywhere, all the time presence. I make a statement in my book, The God Chasers, that sort of raises eyebrows, that God is in most bars as much as He is most churches. That's the omnipresence. It's the everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Right. But God has an ability to concentrate His presence in a location. And when He does that, we call it the manifest presence of God. Like He concentrated His presence between the cherubims over the Ark of the Covenant. And on that day in Houston, what I knew about God just got blown off the Richter scale, and everything I knew about Him was exponentially multiplied.
I am going to believe right now that when we come back, everything you've believed about God is going to be as nothing compared to the experience with God's mercy that you're going to have when we come back. Don't go away.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm with Tommy Tenney. Tommy was in Houston, and he had an encounter of such a magnitude with the anointing or the manifest presence of God that it was just a total change in his life. And he comes from three generations of preachers. As a matter of fact, Tommy, you said that you normally don't even talk about this. Why?
that's one reason when I wrote the book God Chasers, I almost didn't put it in there, but I put it in the first chapter because it's difficult for me to talk about that without getting a little weepy and just wishing that day had never ended might be the best way to put it. There's something about the manifest presence of God that if you're ever exposed to that, there's absolutely nothing that holds any allure to you at all.
Tommy, I believe that for everyone that hungers and thirsts for God that is watching us right now, they will enter in to what you are describing, and it won't just be for one day. It will be 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and I believe that day is coming soon.
I pray that it does.
But tell me about that day. Tell me what happened exactly.
We went into the auditorium at 8:30 that morning for the first of what was to be two services that day. The pastor slipped into his office to pick something up, and I preceded him just maybe by 2 minutes. When I walked in, the presence of God was already there. This was the third week I had been at this church. Now, I don't want people to think because I'd been speaking there that that's why God showed up. But 3 weeks prior to that, I spoke, and on the following Wednesday, this pastor called and said, please come back the next Sunday. And I canceled and felt to come back because there was something twisting in the wind. That's the only way I know how to describe it.
Yeah, you had an intuitive hunch something was up.
We sure were hungry. And that's, I appreciate what you said about hunger and thirst. It's the one promise he said he will fulfill. And our collective hunger determines the size of our collective visitation. And
that's,
I wonder
interesting,
how long God has waited to get a pastor and a church and an evangelist all hungry at the same time. That happened, basically. I came back the second Sunday, and then this was the third Sunday. So it wasn't like I was unfamiliar with the church. Mm-hmm. And the pastor and I have known each other 25 years or more. Walked in, and I went back and got him. I said, Richard, you better come out here. This is unusual. And the worship team was trying to worship, could hardly worship for weeping. Finally, one by one, they would just collapse in a heap weeping until there was nobody singing anymore except the keyboard player, who was the music pastor. And he let out this incredible sob and just collapsed, literally. And the presence of God was so intense in there until it's like you take everything you ever knew about God and dial it up. Hmm. And I may not have made many good decisions in life, but I made one good decision. My wife was with me, and I leaned over to her, and I said, Jeannie, we've never been this close to God before, and I'm not going to stop. She's an incredible worshiper, worship leader, intercessor. And I said, I want you to go up there and continue to just play and sing simply and softly. It was not manipulated, wasn't high decibel, wasn't high volume. And she just continued to lead us into God's presence. It became so strong until people would stand up to maybe even try to slip to the altar and just kind of fall in the aisle, weeping, repenting, out of control, but at the same time with a measured level of dignity. And the pastor leaned over to me and he said, Tommy, are you ready to take the service? And my response was, Richard, I'm about half afraid to take the service because God is going to do something. He said, I think I have a word. He slipped up and read 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face. And he said, the word of the Lord for us today is to stop seeking his benefits and start seeking him. Stop seeking his hands and seek his face.
Everyone's after God, what's in it for me? God, what can you do for me?
They want his hands.
And I guess God is just hungering and thirsting, just as he tells us, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, in that day I'll be found. I think God is hungering and thirsting for us to seek his face.
We want a God encounter. God wants a man encounter. And that's all he's ever wanted, just a level of intimacy with us. Unfortunately, sometimes we take the very blessings that he's given us and use them to finance our journey away from him. You know, the famous story of the prodigal son in the Bible. He took the blessings of the father, the produce from the father's hands, to buy his plane ticket to get away from the father's face. He took the blessings to get away from the father's presence. But when he came to himself, he said, I've run out of blessing. And I know where the source of all things I ever really need are, at the Father's house. And he went back and he said, I don't want the blessings. I'll be a servant. I don't need the authority. I just want to be here. Can I be here? And the Father said, no, you're a son. You're welcome here. And brought him back in. But our abuse often takes us away from the Father's face. That's the difference between seeking his hands and seeking his face.
And the thing that I like is in that parable in the New Covenant, the Father, the minute the prodigal took one step towards the Father, one step, the Father ran to him, put his arms around him, and clothed him with righteousness. We'll be back right after this. Get ready. Is this anointing, this manifest presence of God found in the Jewish scriptures? Most definitely, as a matter of fact, when Solomon's temple was being dedicated, the glory was so strong that it says in several places in the Jewish scriptures that when the priests went in, they had to lay prostrate. There was a heavy force that came upon them, and other instances, they literally could not enter the temple because of the presence of God. One time, the great Jewish prophet Elijah was dead and buried, but the anointing was so strong on his bones that when they made a mistake and they put a dead man into his grave, this dead man touched the prophet's bones, and guess what? You got it. He came back to life. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking with Tommy Tenney, and you talk about the dead being raised. That's what's going on. People that are dead religion, dead tradition, dead formalism are having God encounters. Tommy, what happened next in this church in Houston?
When my wife began to sing, the presence of God got so heavy, I liken it to, it's like you say God is there, and so we feel a little tingle. But remember when the Princess Diana got married, it's my memory, she entered the building, but even though she was in there, her train kept coming.
Yes, I remember that. Okay.
When God was there, and I thought, okay, this is as much of God as I've ever felt, then he kept coming and kept coming until it's like he packed himself in that building. And then the pastor said, we need to seek his face, not his hands. When the pastor got up to slip up to the pulpit to say that, I was so positive that God was going to do something. I got up and went and stood back at the soundboard because I didn't know where it was going to happen, whatever it was. But I knew you can't get that much of God in the building and something not happen. And after he spoke those words, he trembled just slightly. And this clap of, I don't even want to call it thunder. You know, I objected to you even saying supernatural lightning. I don't know what it was. It sounded like thunder.
That's a term like that in the Bible. It sounded like.
I can't say it was thunder.
What happened?
Well, the next thing is he flew backwards about 10 feet, lay prostrate, what wound up to be 2.5 hours. And this is a man, I've never seen him dance. I've never seen him fall down. None of the even normal charismatic manifestations. He's very joyful. He claps. Mm-hmm. He worships. But
not overly emotional.
No, not at all. Very much in control, you know. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't, yet his church, you know, people would fall down if you pray for him. Or it's not that that didn't happen there. But
it didn't happen to him.
To him. And at the same time he flew backwards, the pulpit flew forwards only in two pieces. And it, one piece landed over here and another piece over there, maybe 6 feet between them. And if you could imagine a tree trunk, it didn't like just break in half like this. It's a spiral break. It split down. I
want to go back to this pastor. When he flew in the air, say 9 feet, did he hurt himself?
Oh, no. He had incredible visions that affect him to this day, some of which he still can't talk about.
Tell me some specific physical healings that happened that day.
I don't even know how to begin, but within that same time frame, there was a blind lady. I didn't know she was blind, but people were... That service, mm-hmm. said, started at 8:30 that morning. It lasted all day Sunday, all night Sunday night, until 2 o'clock Monday morning. And normally that people would leave the first service so that the second service could come.
Right.
The second service people came while the first service people were still there, and they would begin to get out of their cars, and the presence of God was so strong. It was so strong on the parking lots that they would begin to weep. And I sent one of the ushers to get my children, because they were at the hotel and coming for the second service. I said, please go get my children. I don't want them to
miss this.
Miss this.
I don't want our viewers to miss a visitation from God right now. Would you speak to them about the God that you love?
I'd be glad to. Whoever you are and wherever you are, you may have met him and you may have just heard about him. But I want to talk to you about really meeting him. Why don't you just close your eyes with me right now? And don't close your eyes because it's something spiritual. Close your eyes because it gives you some personal privacy. And let's pray right now. Father, your presence is what people are hungry for. They're tired of church and going through motions and religious rituals. I pray that wherever they are, in living rooms or bar rooms or bedrooms, let your presence begin to manifest itself. Show up. Lord, it's a simple prayer, but show up where they are. And as they do, let them make you the Lord of their life. Let them repent of their sins. Wherever you are, friend, if you'll reach for him, I promise you he'll reach for you. He loves you that much. Everything that I've ever talked about, everything that any of the biblical writers have ever written about, everything that Sid has said, it's available for you right where you are. You just have to reach. He's already reached. Father, touch them right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I mean, I'm a reporter, and I feel the tangible presence of the living God. And where that presence is, there's not death, there's life. There's not hate, there's love.
Yes.
There's not war, there's peace. You say, yeah, Sid, look at all these religious people that have wars. That's it. It's religious people. It's not people that have had encounters with the living God. This is what you have wanted and you thought it wasn't available. Tommy, you just got back from Argentina. Most of our viewers aren't familiar. What's going on in Argentina?
It's pretty incredible. Some places, whole cities are being taken. This particular meeting was in what I would call the stronghold, was in Buenos Aires, but it's an incredible unity that has come to the body, and as a result of that unity, incredible visitation. God's calling for us to become one and lay down all of these artificial barriers. I don't want to get to heaven and realize I've got brothers there that I didn't recognize on earth.
What about you? God is up to something. God is moving. God is shaking countries. In Argentina, people are getting in taxis and going to churches and getting healed and delivered and coming to know God. In the day that you seek God with all of your heart, you say, I don't know how to do it. Yes, will to right now. When we go off the air, you get down on the floor, on your face, not on your knees, on your face, and say, God, I'm not getting up until I know you. I believe in you. I love you. But there's something more. I know there must be something more. I need you, God. I'm desperate for you, God. This life is a big facade without you. And if you will hunger and thirst for his presence, he's not far.
That's right.
You know, God is crying for some of you right now. I can feel his tears. They're tears of love. And he says, come on to me, all that you are weary and are tired. I've got shalom for you, peace in Jesus' name. I speak shalom over you right now, peace. Amen.